we'll get going here. And if you have your Bible, if you don't, I'm going to read all this stuff anyway. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. Just want to begin to introduce a couple of things. And I want to tell you that a couple of weeks ago, Robert Main came to me, and he's out with the children right now, along with several other workers. And he said that he had had several meetings with the children, sharing the Lord. And he said that the children seem to know a lot about the things that we teach here, but they didn't know a lot of the basics of salvation and security and just stuff like that. And so he said, is it okay with you, brother, if I teach the basics to the kids? You know, because this is a new batch. I mean, the kids come, you know, it's been going on since we've been, you know, we're about 30 years as a church. So we've had a lot of kids grow up. And we have to just stay on top of that. And I said, yes, brother, man, we need to teach, you know, the basics. And then Mallory came to me just a few days ago, and she said something similar to that for, us. And, she said, again, can I teach the basics? And I said, by all means. I mean, I really am a fan of the basics, you know what I mean? I am. Obviously, the Lord usually has me in a particular area, but that's why we need the body. We need the body. We need the input from all members, and particularly all teaching members. So, but interestingly enough, before Robert came and before Mallory came to me, the Lord spoke to me in relationship to you, the sheep that are here, and me being a pastor or a shepherd. And he said to me some things that sort of precipitated what I want to share this morning. And it was along these lines. And these two people were sort of like witnesses, confirmation. And that was that a lot of times we put such emphasis on laying down our life for one another and pouring out and giving. And, Scott, this may be just a slight hair loud, so if you can turn that. Yeah, I appreciate it. Trust me. I'll try to sit a little closer, and that way it'll. But anyway, that we really do, have a lot of input in relationship to, self-giving and laying down your life and the cross and this sort of thing. And the Lord just sort of pointed out, and I appreciate some of the song Scott did this morning, because some of them were right along the lines of what I felt like the Lord was saying, that there is a joy and a freedom and a peace because of the Lord's death, not because of our death. Is that, because of the Lord's death, because of what he did on the cross. And it felt a little bit like to me that maybe as a church, as a congregation, we were slipping a little bit on the aspects of the victory that Jesus bought and paid for, that are already done, and that are so important to most Christians, but we're hungry, we're trying to lay hold of the Lord in a real way in our lives in relationship to one another and be self-giving and to pour out. But in that process, we can't lose our peace. And we can't lose what David describes as the joy of our salvation. Amen? Just being happy in the Lord. One of the things I always liked about Doug Fisher is that he said, you know, he stood side by side with me as we went around the world and preached in conferences and all these foreign countries and stuff. But personally, he would sit to me and say, you know, no matter what we preach, brother, there's nothing greater than when the Lord saved me and brought me into him, you know. And everything else is just a teaching on that, sort of, you know. Well, we know the Lord. We've been saved. We've been brought into that. So I want to just cover some of that ground. And some of you might go, gosh, Randy, that sure is carnal stuff. But this is what I felt like the Lord told me to emphasize. And here's what he told me to do, that at the end, that we would have some prayer together. And that if any of this bore witness with anybody, if any of this, you know, in your heart, you kind of went, you know, I need to sort of get back to some of that, you know. Then we would have prayer and just ask the Lord to release more of that in our step. You know, our walk may be taking up Christ, you know, in the cross daily, but our step can be a little more lively. Amen. So, all right. So Ephesians, the first chapter, and I'm going to start with chapter 2, actually, and then go back to chapter 1, and verse 5 and 6. Oh, let's go to 4 and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, does that sound good to anybody?
Yes.
And that's our dad we're talking about here. That's our daddy, our heavenly father. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, now going back to the first chapter, we'll start at verse 18. And this begins to describe what happened to Jesus, but that verse we just read communicates to us that whatever happened to Jesus happened to us. You know, and that we are partakers of that if we'll partake of it. And so it says, it's Paul's prayer that he starts in verse 17, but verse 18 says that his prayer is that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, this is just a fact. You know, every once in a while you'll see a bumper sticker, and I've referred to this recently, but you'll see a bumper sticker and it'll say, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay, and that's great. You were a sinner, now you're a saint. That's what this is talking about. And if you're Catholic, no, you're not one of those saints. You are a saint as the Bible declares you to be, which is not some sort of deified dead person. I don't know how to say it because I'm not Catholic. But it is the reality of what has happened, that you're not the same person, that I'm not the same person, that whatever you were, whatever fears that you have carried around all your life and drug it into Christianity, you're not the same person. You're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. You were. Now you're a saint. Now you're born again. Now you're part of the family of God. You're no longer an outsider that was an enemy of God. You're part of the family. I mean, that's a pretty good trade-off anyway. You know, you were an enemy, and now you're his son or daughter or family. Well, that's God who is rich in mercy. Now, you know, I like that. And then verse 10, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? All right. I know we don't amen a whole lot, but can somebody amen that? Toward us. This was what he did toward us and for us. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Now remember, we just read the scripture that said that we were raised up with him. So this is a reference to us too. And then verse 21, you can't beat it. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this age, but in that which is to come. All right, so that includes the devil. That includes, you know, dark forces. That includes anything that would try to assault you, that that even if you experience certain things, certain spiritual attacks and all this sort of stuff, even if you experience those things, you are supposed to experience them from a place of resurrection. You're not, it's not like Jesus, you know, I mean, in other words, Jesus didn't just come down here, minister for 3.5 years, take off and leave you alone. The spiritual reality is that you are already raised up with him and you can fight those battles from that place. Now, let me give you a little better scripture that helps emphasize that. Over a few books over, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I like the way this says this. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, huh? See, this isn't sinners giving thanks to God. This is saints giving thanks unto the Father, giving thanks unto the Father, your Father. When Jesus rose from the dead, you know, they asked him, where are you going? He said, I go to my Father and your Father. Well, that wasn't true before he died on the cross, but now we are in the family. Brothers and sisters, look around. You're going to be with everybody a long time. Some of you are going, amen. Some of you are looking around going, oh, me. Oh, my God, not forever. And so verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us, my translation says, made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He made us fit to be able to. You didn't.
That's right.
You didn't make yourself fit. And you may, you know, maybe you believed that when you first got saved, but nowadays you've been wrestling with how well you've been doing in your walk. You know what I'm saying? This isn't talking about your walk. This is talking about what he did and settled in death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jennifer, could I get you to do me a favor and just move over one chair? Because I really can't see Michael there, and I haven't got to know him well enough to. So I want to be able to look at him. No, I didn't. He fits right in here, doesn't he? No, it's fine, because the leaning forward is actually a little better thing. All right, so, and then verse 13, which is the one I really wanted to get to, who hath, notice this is past tense, I'm reading from the King James, so sounds a little strange, but hath, who hath, is past tense, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I like the wording there. Number one, I like the wording that it's past tense that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we'll explain that in just a minute. But that he also, past tense, has translated us. A lot of people are waiting for a translation from English to Spanish. No, that's not the right translation. But they're waiting for a change, when in reality there has been a translation that has taken place, and God declares that one is done, and we're not lit. Why wait for another one when we hadn't laid hold of the one that we got? Hath translated, and I love this wording, into, not the kingdom, not because, you know, we see a kingdom, we see clouds, and we see like a castle in heaven. We go, oh, I want to go to the kingdom, you know. But he says, into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the actual translation is, we have been placed in the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's the actual translation. Some of you need to soak in the love a little more, you know what I mean? Because it's true in His heart. Is it true in your heart? In this, because remember, it says it's according to them that believe. So you say, well, I haven't really been able to believe that lately. Well, today's the day. Praise God. We're not finished. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's why I'm preaching the word, so that faith can arise. Amen? All right. And so the other thing that I like about this is that it, you know, it's talking about that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Okay, now a lot of Christians will go, no, we haven't. The devil's everywhere. There's darkness. There's bad stuff going on, bad things. You never watch the news, Randy? You know? Well, I try not to, but yeah, there's plenty of bad stuff going on. But it didn't say that we've been delivered from the presence of darkness. It's a difference of being delivered from the presence of darkness and the power of darkness. The truth is, through Christ and through the reality that we have in oneness with Him, being joined to Him, being family, being raised up, being seated with Him spiritually, and settling that in our hearts, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we'll explain a little of that as we go here, but we haven't been delivered from the presence of darkness. And some haven't been delivered from the power of darkness because how that's brought about. There are weapons that God gave us that bring that about. Yes. There are certain things that God has given us that it's our place to, I'm going to say it like this, it's our place to take up arms. You know, not just go, you know, be some sort of passive stump. Help me, Lord. You know, not that that's you. That's, I'm thinking about how I am. You know, he's going, well, you know, work with me here, stump, you know. You know, he'd like a little faith, which means I trust you, Lord. I look to you, Lord. That's all it is. You know, we're going, I don't have faith. You can't look to the Lord and say, you know, you're my help, you know. We make everything so complicated when it's just simple. You know, ever heard that phrase, simple faith? Okay, so one day He will deliver us from the presence of darkness, but right now He's delivered us from the power of darkness. By the way, I just want to warn you guys over there, Larry, and all you guys, that the advantage of coming when I preach is you get to, you know, we get to hang out and see one another. The disadvantage is I'm by far the longest preacher here, so... You know, the good news about that is that most churches let out way in advance of us. And so by the time we go to the restaurants, they're all empty and we don't have to stand in line for food. So, amen. All right. So I want to just give a lot of scriptures. And again, you don't have to turn to all of these, but you can listen as I read them and, you know, I get the feeling that either Renee wants to get in a position to see me or she's secretly sneaking out. It's like, wait a minute. Stop those people. All right. So I'm going to hit you with a bunch of scriptures. So if you just, you know, if you're tired and you don't want to flip there today, well, that's fine. I'm going to James chapter 4 and verse 7. And James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right, so there is a devil. You know how I know? Because the Bible says so. You know how I know? Because Jesus said there was. And instead of passively going, you know, well, I'm crucified with Christ, and I just, you know, and just let the devil slap you around. The Bible says resist the devil. Don't put up with it. resist the devil. Now, it's interesting, in that very same scripture, it started with submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. So it's two-part. Part of it is, Lord, I want to be with you. And you know what? Submitting ourselves to God a lot of times sort of legalistic teaching is, you have to submit yourself to God. You have to, you know, do everything he wants. You have to. But I think what this scripture is really talking about is submitting yourself to the reality of his death, burial, and resurrection victory. Because if you don't, you have no victory. You're trying to fight for the victory. Is that right or wrong? You're doing it. You think you have to gain the victory. You don't get. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. Submitting there is to say with, to confess, say with. That's what confession is, to say with God what he says, that the enemy is defeated, that he has given you power over that, and that you're not a hopeless whipping boy or girl of the enemy, but that you are to walk, and here it is. You're not only supposed to take up the cross daily, you're supposed to walk in the victory of Christ. Yes. Come on, people. I mean, that's, you know, we know that, but we forget that. And so it's a little bit like, you know, you see, I know this isn't the case, but it's a little bit like when you see the service ends and everybody goes out to their car, that everybody's walking out with their cross on their shoulder going, okay, I'll serve you, Jesus. You know what I mean? Well, how about a little zip in your step about the victory that Jesus won for you? Larry, is that chair comfortable, or would you rather sit in? Are you sure? Okay. Well, I'm not, but this is about the best I'm going to get. All right. So, and then a similar one. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 5, and I should have marked all these, but I didn't. Chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, did you know you have an adversary? Did you know you have a daily adversary? Do you know that you've been delivered from his power, but not his presence? Did you know, if you don't know you've been delivered from his power, then you got his presence in your face and the junk that he's shoving in your face. Okay? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's what the scripture says. This one says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Interesting wording there. It didn't say God's adversary. Okay, there's somebody that doesn't like you, okay? It's the devil. Why didn't he like you? Because you love Jesus. Because you want to put the things of God first. Okay, he's going to try to give you trouble. You know? I remember years ago, I had a member of our church at that time come up to me. He said, Pastor Randy, I've been trying to get with the Lord, but it seems like every time that I start turning my heart towards the Lord, the devil just starts hitting me. And he says, you know, it just seems like the best thing for me to do is just leave the Lord. I said, that's crazy talk. Buddy, that's crazy talk, you know. The devil's defeated. It's not like you have to defeat him and all that, but if you don't know that victory, if you haven't settled on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as a victory, not just as an example or, you know, all the possibilities, as a victory, then you think you have to fight that battle to win it. And you're not standing on victory ground. You know, standing in victory circle. All right. Then I read the second verse there, verse 9. Whom resist? Well, I didn't even finish verse 8, did I? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I wasn't going to share on this one, but like a roaring lion. You know, I'm reminded of how they hunt. And the older lions, the male lions, when they get older, what they do, they're not as fast as they used to be. So what they do is they let the younger ones do it. But how they do it is they go at their prey, they sneak up, and the older ones sneak up in front, and the younger ones go around back, and the old lions still have the deepest roar. I mean, it's a deep roar. I go, roar! And the prey turn around and run in the opposite direction, right into the paws of and the claws of the younger ones, okay? Well, that's, you know, that was exactly what David and Goliath. When Goliath came out, he was huge, and he's going, you know, the giant wouldn't keep his mouth shut. Roar! You remember? I mean, the story. You weaklings, you're nothing, and give me a man to fight with. Send me somebody. And all of Israel's going, hey, you know, they're scared and everything. David ran to the roar. You know, we go, no, run from the roar. It's the devil. No, 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 run toward it because that's where the old lions are. He goeth about like a roaring lion. Isn't it interesting, the wording there? It didn't say he goeth about like a terrible, flesh-ripping lion. It said just a roaring one. Guess what? His teeth have been taken out, as it were. You know what I'm saying. He's been detoothed. And then verse 9, resist steadfast in the faith. Oh, see, that's different. It really is different. That's different. You know, you can be so concentrated on taking up your cross and loving one another and pouring out and blessing and everything that you really forget the faith of, you know, that gives you a little pep. You know, a little pep in your life and in your walk. And joy, the joy of the Lord and the joy of your salvation. And what is that salvation? That he's made us one with him. We're not who we were. We're one with Christ. All right. And then 1 John, and again, you don't need to turn there. I'll do it if you want to, but if you like looking at scriptures or if you want to jot down the ones, it's 1 John 3, I think it's verse 14. And it's not. Let me see here. That must be 5. Let me just. Okay, I knew I did. Well, I should have written that one down. Basically, it's the one that says, and it's probably in chapter 5, that our faith is the victory by which we have overcome. Oh, you know what? That's not the scripture I was thinking of. Let's see if I can do this. Let's see if I can pull out of the old noggin. It's 1 John 2, 13. Let me start at 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You know, you can look up here at me or Jim and say, well, you're not young men. You haven't overcome, you know. Well, if you think how old we are in the Lord, and if you think how much we've learned, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, I feel like, you know, maybe I'm 8 years old in the Lord, you know, as far as my maturity, when you consider the Ancient of Days without beginning, without end. And here's how much I know. You know, he probably is looking at me like, you know, that Randy is the cutest little 8-year-old boy. You know what I mean? You know, well, I don't know about that, you know, but I know that I am still strong in the Lord. In fact, somebody called me the other day and he said, well, how are you doing? I said, well, which plane do you want that on? On a spiritual plane or a physical plane, you know? Because on the spiritual plane, man, I love Jesus, and I love the Lord, and I love serving the Lord, and I love God's people, and I love being about his business. If you're talking about a physical plane, I hurt. Ow. And not only do I hurt, I keep hurting myself and feel like I'm starting over again. But in the Lord, I am a young man. I'm strong in the Lord. And his word of God, and then the word of God abides in me. And I have overcome the wicked one. Amen. All right. So what kind of attacks do we have? And most of you are familiar with this. It's over, and again, you don't have to turn there, but it's Revelation 12:10. And it says this, and let me make sure I'm reading the right one here. Yeah. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accursed them before our God day and night. All right. The accuser of the brethren, that's what the devil is called, the accuser of the brethren. Says he accuses before God day and night. Can you imagine? Well, did you see what Sister so-and-so did? Did you see what Brother so-and-so did? Did you see? They're not acting like your children. They're not this and that. Well, it doesn't matter how well you did today. You're going to have bad days and good days. You're going to mess up. You're going to have this and that. You have to stand on the truth of what's already settled by his death and resurrection. In other words, what are you saying, Randy? Stop beating yourself all the time. Get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on the Lord and on the victory that is already done. So what am I trying to say? Stop beating yourself. And you know, I remember a long time ago, I was talking to somebody, and they were always in condemnation. Always, you know, yeah, but I did this, and I failed on that, and I didn't do this, and I da-da-da-da. I said, you know, the devil doesn't even need to visit you but like once a month and give you a stick and let you beat yourself. You know, he doesn't even need to come and attack you every day. You know, you just allow all that stuff. Listen to the word. Listen to the Lord. Listen to his heart. Listen to the victory. Listen to his. For God's sake, we're God's. Let's listen to God's reality. Not the earth reality. And if you walk with him in faith, you will be changed from glory to glory. The Bible says that. But you have to believe that. You have to walk in that and do that. And with that is, you know, all the feelings of insecurity and feelings of unworthiness and feelings of rejection. Anybody ever felt that? Feelings of rejection. Something happens. We don't even have to know why it happened. All we know is rejection comes up and goes, well, you're rejected, you know, I'm da-da-da-da, and this and that. We go off in this world, we go off into the land of rejection. You know, it's not Narnia. It's the land of rejection. Yeah. It's Narnia. No, it's not. It's rejection. And in there is all sorts of things that, you know, everything from the, you know, devil telling you junk that, you know, well, you know, you're rejected because you're this and that, to, well, they rejected you because there's something wrong with them, when maybe rejection wasn't even a real issue. Now, I know what that's like. I have experienced that deep feeling of rejection, and with it always comes hurt. You know, and if you let that simmer in you, blah, 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 you know, and you meditate on that, you know, it'll turn to anger. And if you let anger keep going, it'll turn into bitterness, and then eventually it'll turn into revenge, wanting to get somebody back for something. All right, well, this is a newsflash, but if you do that, that's not Jesus in you. That's you. That's not, you know, and that's not you living above by Christ. That's you living in the earth by you and your old ways and your old thoughts, man. You're a new creation. You've got to cast down all that. And I think I have those scriptures in here, but you have to deal with that stuff. In fact, over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, again, no necessity to turn there. Aren't you impressed with my Spanish? And what did I say? I lied. It's 2 Timothy. But see, I don't go into condemnation over just lying to you like that. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How long has it been since you've meditated on that scripture? I got a few looks like, I didn't even know that scripture was in there. Well, it is. Yeah, that's good. Mark that, baby. There you go. There you go. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So what is that telling us? The first thing it's telling us, if you have a spirit of fear, God didn't give it to you. Okay, if God didn't give it to you, who do you suppose gave it to you? Could it be Satan? Sorry. It's an old Saturday Night Live trick. No, you know, it's not the Lord. The Lord didn't give you a spirit of fear. Then if you've got one, that's not from the Lord, and that's not the Lord giving it to you. But there is a way to overcome that, and God gave you the way to overcome it, and that is by the fact that he did give you something. It says it right there, verse 8. Wherefore I put thee in, or well, verse 7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Do you know what that means? That an unsound mind is a mind that lets all sorts of creatures roam in it. These slimy, wiggly creatures that speak and peep and murder and mutter and all this stuff. You know, well, they murder too. That God didn't put that in there. If that's in there, they can go resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But it's also submit yourself to God, to this reality that number one, you do have power over the enemy. You do have power. You're like, I don't have any power. I'm a cross bearer. I have no power. Shut up. You do too. You do in the Lord power. Oh, I like this. And love. Yeah. See, we go, I got power, so I got power in the Lord, so I'll just run over the top of everybody. No, 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 no. You also got love to temper your power. And a sound mind. And a sound mind is a mind that has been built by the Word of God to see as God sees and to see you as God sees instead of to see you as you've always seen yourself and all the junk that you're going through and all the failures and all this kind of stuff. So a spirit of fear. Okay, well, what's fear? Well, that's kind of a mixture, really. Fear and worry go hand in hand, don't they? Worry. And what are we worrying about? We're fearing something, so we're worried. You know, well, what if this happens? Well, let me worry about it for 3 days, and maybe that'll change everything. You know, it never changes anything. The only change happens is you. You get depressed. You know, you say, you know, fear and worry say, hey, depression, come join us. We got a nice little habitation in here. You know, let's have a party in the party head. That worrying and that condemnation and that fretting and all that kind of stuff, the only thing that's going to overcome that is the already resurrection victory that you've been brought into as you meditate on it. And what is it? You know, Isaiah 26 says, what is it? How's that word? It says this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You, perfect peace. I like that. That sounds good. That sounds better than the peace we had in the 60s. Perfect peace. Perfect. Some of you, honestly, some of you need a little perfect peace going on. You do. You need it. An altar call or coming up here for prayer is not going to do it. That's going to start you on the road. But you got to get your mind stayed back on Him. You know? You do. Get your mind fixed back on Him. And, you know, fear and all this stuff and sickness and all this stuff, you know, it's strange. I sit up here as one who is wounded and appears unhealed. But you know what? I believe I'm with the Lord, and I believe, and this happened when I was down in Houston when I prayed for some people. You know, I am wounded, and I prayed for some people, and they got healed. Say, so how does that work? Well, Paul said that in our weakness, he is made strong, and that it actually says that he rejoices in infirmity and this and that, because when I am weak, then is he strong, and that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Now, I would like to see this physical thing pass from me. But more than anything else, I'd like to see it pass through me to you for your needs. I'd like to see some things happen in the Lord for you. Some people worry about death and hell. Well, that's settled. If you're born again, you don't have to worry about that. You say, yeah, but I'm not doing too good. It's settled. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep following the Lord. And don't let the enemy steal what's already settled in the heart of God. You know, you do realize Jesus already died for all sin. He's not going to, like, every time you sin, people sometimes pray like this, where every time they sin, they go, oh, Jesus, get back up on the cross and die for this too. He's not going to die anymore. He already did it. He died for all sin, past, present, and future. Settled. Done. You don't have to, you know, and that's, you know, somebody says, well, is that a license for, you know, God gives me a license for sin then. No, he doesn't. He gives you a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind so that you can walk with him. However, if you sin, you have an advocate not with the great mighty judge that is scary, you know. You have an advocate with the Father. Your Father, Jesus, is advocating to your Father. That's a pretty good team. That's a pretty good... They've never lost a case. That is a good team of attorneys you got there. All right. So, and let's see. Let's turn to... That's where that scripture was. I'm going to turn to 1 John 5. And again, you listen up. 1 John 5 and 4. There it is. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not our perfection. Not our lack of sinning. Not our, you know, we're going to fail. The whole, you know, anybody remember this song? I don't know if you remember the words. The name of the song, it starts out, Jesus loves me, this I know. Anybody know that one? Let's hear it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him be. Get ready. They are weak, but he is strong. You're still a little weakling. You're still his child. You're still weak. He's still strong. You go, well, I'm much more mature than that. I don't sing those songs anymore. There's your problem right there. except you become as a little child. You know? You know? Sing it to yourself.
That's right.
Because you are weak and I am weak and I need Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not ashamed to tell the whole world I'm weak, but I need Jesus, and I'm going to fail, but I'm going to get up.
That's right.
You know? And I've always used the example of the bicycle. You know, when you first learn to ride a bicycle, you get on that bicycle and, you know, it's like, and then you, and your knees all scraped up. I ain't going to do that anymore. That hurt. That's nobody. Well, that's not the right approach. With my kids, dust them off, get back on there. You have learned something.
I didn't learn anything. It was terrible. I was over here and this and that, and I fell.
I said, no, you've learned something. You've learned something pertaining to balance. When you went too far this way, you went over here, and then you went too far this way. And you're learning balance in your life. And even the fall helped you. God is with you, you know. That's why it's not good to be a father and your kid fall and go, you idiot! You know what I mean? Your husband's not here right now, but I'd talk to him about that. I'm joking. But, I mean, that's not, you know. You say, look, you can do it. I'm with you. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. And you know what usually works? Do you know what usually works? I bet you do if I say it. What usually works is when the father runs along behind when the kid thinks it's all by itself. And it's getting it, and you're actually steadying it more. And then you're running alongside, and he's going, oh, I'm getting it. And then you let go. And you go, oh, and you go, yeah. Never really knew that the father was the one holding you up all the time until you could handle it. He loved you when you failed. He loved you when you rode the bike. He was happy for you when you got it, but he didn't love you more. He loves you just the same. Why? Because you're his. All right. We need to go to Ephesians 6. How much time we got left up there? Yeah, well, see, we got all day in here, but we don't have all day up there. They sort of cheat. They stick a 60-minute tape in there and a video and everything else, and they go, okay, you got 2 minutes. You got 1 minute, 59, 58. Okay, Ephesians 6. I love this. Let's start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand all the in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, so there we'll stop right there. There is, you know, these are actual weapons, and we don't realize it. We just think it's, you know, stuff. I remember when we were over on Bolivar, I had somebody said, well, every morning I get up and I put on the armor of God. And they had no clue what it meant. They just said, you know, I'm spiritually putting on this stuff. You know, it's like, you know, look, this isn't fairy tale land here. There's real stuff here. The breastplate of righteousness means that you're righteous based on what Jesus did, not what you do. And put it on. You see what I mean? Because, and then put that shield of faith up so that when the fiery darts come and says, well, you're nothing, or you're a failure, or you're rejected, or you're foolish, or you're this or that, you hold it up there and you say, I am the Son of God. I am one in Christ. I have been joined to the family of God. He loves me. He's added me. He's working in my life. He cares. Stop believing all that other stuff, you know? And you know, and you would, if you saw somebody standing there and they didn't put anything on and the devil's just shooting darts and pew, 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 and you're standing there, wouldn't you kind of go, dude, you know, this is not good. You're fixing to, you're going up in flame. You need to get some of the Word of God on you, in you, to be able to stand. I did several sharings a long time ago on the breastplate of righteousness. Is Alana on there? I heard she's, yeah, she's there. There you are. I see you over there in Ireland. Alana got that one, and she said, I want to, you know, because those basics, folks, are really important. And if you forgot some of this stuff, man, get it renewed in you. All right. Let's see. You know, the more I talk, the more time goes. Did you notice that? That's the strangest thing. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Wow. I want you to think just about that phrase, mighty through God. Come on, quit being, you know, letting everything push you around. Mighty through God. Didn't say mighty through you. The scripture we read in Ephesians 6, verse 10 said, be strong. So we go, I can't, I've tried. It didn't say be strong in you. It says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Quit relying on you. Quit looking at you. Quit depending on you. What is your hope of glory? Christ in you. Cristo en ti, la esperanza de gloria. That's your hope, Christ in you. We have overcome the world by what? Christ in you. That's how you overcome. Well, is he in you? Yes. So his life in you will lay down its life for the brethren or whatever else, but his life in you will be strong against the enemy. There's victory. There's victory. This is talking about victory, not defeat, not accepting defeat on the basis of the cross. This is talking about victory. All right. I wrote that one down because I thought, mighty through God. That's just good stuff. Let's do one more over in 1 Corinthians. Actually, we might do just a few more here. 1 Corinthians 15. See if I got this one right. I may not because I did that one quick. Yeah, I do. 1 Corinthians 15:57, and it says this, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody thankful? Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory, not through you, but through his son. Yeah, see, did you hear that response? It said, thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God. See? It used the word victory. Some of you hadn't, at least it hadn't appeared, you've been tasting a victory a lot lately, and you should, because it's already won for us. It's already done. It's already settled. All right. Book of Acts, and I want to just close with a little thing in preparation for just praying for you. Acts chapter 2, most of you are familiar with this, but I'm going to introduce it through Acts 2, but I want to go to 2 Timothy again in just a minute. But Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we'll go through several verses here. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, and they were where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now go over to 2 Timothy, and this will be our last scripture. It'll be my first ending, but our last scripture. We may have several endings here. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. And it says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. Well, the next verse is the one we read earlier. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Stir up the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about Peter before the day of Pentecost. At the cross, he was running and he was hiding and he was denying Jesus. You remember that? I mean, they said, well, you know, do you know this man talking about Jesus? And they go, I don't know the guy. And he cussed, you know. I mean, if you're going to cuss, don't cuss about that. But he did, you know. That wasn't the end of it, was it? Because after Pentecost, he stood up and he boldly proclaimed this in front of everybody. And there was a new thing that happened within him. And all that hiding and denying and all that stuff began to disappear. And here it talks about for those that have received the Holy Spirit in that way, to stir up the Holy Spirit, because God did not give you a spirit of fear. And sometimes we get so focused on Jesus that we forget the power of the Spirit to bring forth Christ and to manifest the victory and to give peace and to find rest for our souls. You know, some of your souls have been really working overtime lately. Your soul needs rest, not just your body. You know, it's time to find rest for your soul. And so this scripture in Timothy is talking about that. He says, stir up that you get. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Stir up that spirit of power and of a sound mind and of love. My question is, do you believe that prayer helps? I do too. I believe it's based on God and his movement, but our prayer to him. And do you believe others can have faith for you when you couldn't have faith? Anybody believe that? Yes. You remember the guy that was lame in his bed and stuff like that? And the four guys got on each corner of his bed and they literally got him on the roof of the house. That's quite a job. Broke a hole in the roof and let him down in front of Jesus because they couldn't get to Jesus because so many people were in the way. Did you know people get in the way sometimes? I want to get to Jesus. And Jesus healed him based on their faith. Amen. And that's good, because we have people here that have faith in ways that you don't have faith. But you can believe if you come for prayer, you can believe that someone else could have faith when because we look at ourselves and we go, well, I don't think there's any hope. No need wasting the pastor's time and all that kind of stuff. Praise God. And, you know, do you believe God cares? Let's just take it off of you for a minute. Do you believe that God, the great deity, cares? Okay. Well, the deal is you need to realize he cares for you. Do you believe God can help? How about that? Okay, well, there we go. Well, if you believe any of those things, that's faith. If you believe any of that, you're already exercising faith. You're the perfect candidate. That's faith. So guess what? Instead of being real super spiritual about it, come down here. We're going to pray together. Whoever wants to, don't come down here if you don't want to. It's no big deal. Honestly, you just sit back there and you use your faith to pray for everybody else or gather up here to them, however you want to do that. But the Lord wants to make some breakthroughs and some basics for you. And he wants to bring some things like seeds that you have in you. He wants to have them start popping up again. Some things that have been dormant. Have they been gone? No, they're dormant. And God wants to release some new things for you. God wants to touch you, either spirit, soul, or body. Okay? Spirit, soul, or body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just pray for Brother Michael first. He is has cancer, and yet he's believing for a complete healing and believes that the Lord does want to heal him. Well, you know what? That's faith. And, you know, we talk about laying down our lives and stuff. Well, he could be on the verge of that if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for faith, if it wasn't for a body of believers that would first say, you know what, brother, we stand with you. You're not alone. We're not going to just leave you alone. That's it. He did. He did heal you at the cross. That's right. And it's a manifestation of that healing in your mortal flesh, brother. So why don't those of you that want prayer also just come over and let's just love on this brother and let's release our faith so that we're all saying the same thing with one mind and one accord. Father, we just thank you so much for this brother who came to be with us. Lord, I thank you for this heart. Lord, you heard his heart. I heard it. And he is with you. He loves you. And Lord, his words were so eternally true, that he was healed at the cross. But the manifestation of that spirit, soul, and body comes by faith. And we stand with him now, Father. Manifest your victory in his mortal flesh. You said that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken his mortal flesh.
Yes,
so, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you right now. We release the two greatest faith words we could ever say. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And then, Father, we just go ahead and pray for his spirit and his soul. Lord, you have been so good to him. But he just loves you, and he wants more flowing through him for your glory. Lord, he's just looking for a way, an outlet of life. He's so thankful for all the great things you've done for him. But he doesn't want to just be a taker, Father. It's in his heart to be a giver. And so, Father, we just agree with him for the desires of his heart. That's not even human. We're all so selfish. That's even you working in him. And so, Father, we honor your Son. We honor Jesus in him. And we honor his heart's desire. And we honor his faith in coming here today. And we ask you to just open those doors, show what, when, where, and how. And, Father, just help us here. If we can be a benefit to that, if we can open a door somewhere here or whatever, we just stand with you, Father, in
Father,
your heart for him.
Please heal Randy.
Hallelujah.
Give him the healing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
For your gift for him on the cross was the same.
Oh, yes. Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
Let us claim what thou gave us.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Lord, you said if any two of us would agree together,
yes,
me and Michael agree together on this.
Amen.
We don't stand individually, we stand together.
There is nothing stronger than my Lord.
That's right. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may need to go sit down or whatever, however the Lord leads. Father, we just pray for the rest that have come up here. Lord, you love us and your heart is with us. You died to bring this about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you so much. Hallelujah. Father, you've been doing such a blessed work in Patty. But Father, I just feel like someone who wants to just break out. Just break out with you, Lord. And that she's open to you in all avenues. That she doesn't want to close off anything. And Father, you have used her. But Lord, you want to free her in areas that are yet being held back. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand with her. And I have faith for her, Father. I totally, you've given me that heart of faith for Patty, Lord. I see her totally clean and free and bondage free, Father. And I have for some time now. Now manifest that in her mind and in her soul and in her struggles. Father, manifest the victory that your son bought and paid for and rose again for, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for Amber and all that, Lord, she means to you and all that she's meant to us over the years, Lord. Such a faithful heart and a precious heart. And Father, we just pray for her now. Pray for her family. We pray for all the things that you have had in your heart for her and for them, Father. The things that you have had in your heart, Father. Sometimes we come up with ideas and plans, but your plans could never be beat. So, Lord, we ask for your plans and a manifestation of those plans. And Satan, we bind you from every attack against this family in the name of Jesus. And the word of the Lord says to resist the devil and he will flee. We resist you, Satan, in Jesus' name. We break your hold in the name of Jesus so that Christ may be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Carol, and I thank you for how she has stood with you, Lord. And she's had all these different times where you've had breakthroughs. And, Lord, she just keeps coming back, and she wants more, and she wants more, and she wants more. She wants to be with you, Lord. It's just in her. Her core, when her core is turned loose, when the compass of her heart is allowed to go where it wants, that compass always points towards Jesus. So we stand with her in her faith and, Father, in her desire towards you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Greg, for spirit, soul, and body. Father, things that we don't even know about, Lord. I mean, we would automatically think of any physical thing. But, Lord, any desires that just desire to break out even further, Father, and any faith stand that he desires, Lord, that he is with you over and he agrees with you. We agree with him. We stand with him, Father. We thank you for this one who has gone through so much and yet still faithfully seeks you, Lord. And Lord, he has good days and he has bad days, but he has every day with you. That never changes, Lord. Thank you for that. That's the highest gift that you could give a human being. And he has peace in the midst of storm. And he has love. And he has all the things that are precious to someone that is truly after your heart, Father. Lord, continue to expand those things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No. Father, we just thank you for Steve, and we thank you for all his prayers for us. But we thank you, Lord, for him. And we love him, Father, and you have blessed us. You have blessed us with him. And, Lord, we know that he goes through things and emotions and trials and feelings of rejection and all that stuff. But, Lord, in this place, since he's been joined with us, he's made many returns back out of that. He doesn't stay there long enough to let it destroy him. And, Lord, I thank you for that. And we ask, because we love him, we ask that you continue to work through him and break off all the bondages of lack of worth and of lack of being needed and all that stuff, Father, and all those lies, Lord, just a whole nest of them. And Father, I just stand with him right now, and in the name of Jesus, I say your time is done on some of these things, and I resist you now, and I command you to flee off of him, because he loves Jesus, and he's proven it over and over and over and over and over and over. So he's not giving you place anymore. In Jesus' name, you flee. In Jesus' name, you flee. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your love and your help. Thank you, Lord, that when we feel like an outcast, you are so with us. Jesus, when you walk this earth, you joined yourself to the outcast and the rejected and the, Lord, the lame and the weak and the, Lord, and they walked with you and loved you and you never looked down on them. Thank you for not looking down on us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for my brother. Just thank you, Lord. You keep bringing him to us, and he just loves you. And Lord, that he, you have moved on his heart, and there are things that you have put in his heart that no man knows, that he desires. And Father, I just pray that, number one, you continue to raise his desires up on a higher level, Lord, not just earth, not just things of the earth, not just how he and what he gets down here, but Lord, the riches that are in you that he's never seen. Lord, open his eyes and his heart, just like with the scripture we began with, to open our eyes to be able to see things of you that we never saw, so that, Lord, he'll have comfort and he'll have peace. Thank you for your hand upon him, Lord. You've never let go of him. Thank you for that. You've never let go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we stand with him today in any trial that he's gone through. Lord, forgive him of his sins. Wash it as if it never happened. Away, forget it. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. Cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. Let it be removed. And may he step forth in newness of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Can I pray for you, Larry? Father, I thank you for my friend and my brother now. Lord, we were always brothers. Even when we were first met, we knew we were brothers. You did that. Lord, I just ask you to just wash away any sins or failures that he might have done or gone through, Lord, and just strengthen him with all might in his inner man. He belongs to you. He does not belong to the world. He is not a failure. He is not, Lord, he's none of those things. He is a saint in your eyes, and he's a saint in our eyes. And Lord, you have drawn him by your own hand, not me. You drew him. Amen. And then he came to me because he knew I'd give him you, Lord. But his heart was towards you first. And he responded to you and he received you. And so now, Lord, just touch him also physically, Lord. I know he struggles with different things too, just like I have, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to manifest your resurrection victory in his mortal flesh. Lord, take some of the pain away. Take some of the things that just, I know, Lord, that just eat on you because you can't do certain things, Father. And just heal him, spirit, soul, and body, Father. I thank you that he is your child. He is your son. He is greatly loved by you. Lord, we feel that and we sense that. We just release that towards him now, Father. Thank you that through your precious blood, Jesus, you forgave him now of every sin, everything. He is as if he never sinned, Father. And he stands before you clean and whole. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. And he can walk out of here with peace, knowing that there's nothing between you and him at all. Thank you. You did that, Jesus, and you did it for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Was there anyone else needing prayer? Did you want? Okay. Father, we just thank you for Jennifer. We thank you for her heart for you. We ask you, Lord, to just meet her deepest needs. Lord, that there are things that are struggles and trials, and that, Lord, it's just impossible for anyone else to fully identify with. But Jesus, you do, and you know, and you care, and you do care, and you care deeply. You do, Father. She has suffered on levels that some people could never know. But Father, she's here. She's here today. She's here at this moment. She's here before you. And Lord, she's come in faith. And we stand where she can't have faith. We stand with her. We ask you, Lord, to meet those needs and to meet her. You said that if anyone would come after you, you would in no wise cast them out. Lord, you do not cast out. You draw us near unto you. Pull her up into your bosom, into your heart, and reveal more of yourself to her. And strengthen her also, Father, with all might, spirit, soul, body, Father. And thank you, Lord. Keep her eyes on you. Keep her eyes on you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just go ahead and do that. Father, we just ask you to touch this leg that's hurt and to just minister healing to him. We thank you that you love him, Father, and that you care about him. You know his hurts and his pains. Father, may he from a very young age learn that he can trust you and that even as a child he can come to you and that you heal and you care and you minister. And that, Father, thank you that he knows that he can come to you and did come to you. And, Father, that reward his faith by your precious mercies and your tender mercies towards him. Heal his leg in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We have some people on Skype. I'd mentioned Cassie, and I'd like for us to all just join together, if you wouldn't mind. Let's pray for Cassie. Father, we just ask you right now, she's been on this long marathon. Lord, the Olympics are going on, but no one has had a nine-month marathon. Lord, she's weak and she's tired and she's poured out and emotionally strained and physically strained. And Father, there are days that she struggles and there's no one else around even to help her get up physically. It's almost impossible at times. Lord, the emotional and the mental strains that she goes through. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, we as her church body, as her family, we surround her. We ask you to send whatever angels and whatever things that she struggles with, even things beyond what we could know. We ask you in the name of Jesus to move by your Spirit and to protect her. Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus from emotional stress and feelings of depression and anything else that goes along with that in the name of Jesus. And Father, just strengthen her body for the task at hand and what's coming, Father. Strengthen her through this. And Father, what Jesus described as pain and all this as you prepare to give birth, may there be that joy that comes forth when the babies do. And Father, we also pray for Andreas in Belgium. And Lord, he is in contact with his countrymen in Iran. And he's also involved with people in Syria, Father. And he is in the midst. He's almost like caught between a great struggle that is going on in the Middle East right now. His heart's desire is to bring Christ to those people, Father. And it's very difficult, Father, and there are huge dangers, real dangers that he faces by just because of his heart's desire to reach these people for Jesus. And Father, he's over there in the midst of it. So I ask you, open doors, open their hearts to him. And Lord, protect him. And I cover him, Father, as a pastor. I use whatever authority you've given me as a pastor to cover him. And I cover him for his protection and for his security and for his care as he launches forth even more into the areas that you have for him, Father. Touch and use him and minister to him also, to his heart, to his spirit, Father, to his emotions when he goes through things and when he feels alone, Father. Be there for Andreas, Father. We thank you for that. And Father, in Finland, we pray for Steve and Aria. Lord, we pray for their lives and their paths. And Lord, they look to you. But Lord, I sense that they want a greater breakout of you. And Father, they want something real. And they want genuine realness going on. Lord, you have mightily used them, Lord, in this Skype thing and opened doors to so many in different countries. We ask you to open doors for them, Father, whether that's a literal physical door somewhere where they would go or or live or minister or whatever, Father, but we ask a literal door to be opened for them by you. And then, Father, just to meet their needs and meet them, Lord, in their spiritual needs and in their emotional needs and then the mental things that they would go through. And then, Father, physically to touch them and to be with them and to care for them and heal them and manifest your victory, Father. Just thank you. And Father, also, Ezzy was here from Pennsylvania, and Sarah and her mom, Father, and they're trying to get some things in order so that they might move out with the Lord in a greater measure. We ask you to bless the steps that they would need to take, and at the same moment, bless their hearts to be more in tune, even as the steps happen and the doors open each step of the way. May their heart be open before they reach that door in a new way, in a new level, in a new sensitivity to you, and a new desire for there be such a greater increase of Christ in them, Father. Father, I pray for Alana, and Lord, I know that she has struggled. I pray that these classes that she's been listening to in Ireland, Lord, that they will continue to feed her and be like weapons, that she becomes strong, Father, and she carries these weapons about. And Lord, that in her weakness that she is finding your strength through these weapons, through these things that you have given unto her and will continue to open. Father, I just bind every attack of the enemy against her mind and her emotions and spirit of fear and spirit... Yes, spirit of fear and spirit of condemnation, I bind you and your attacks against Alana in Ireland right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to move in a new way. And Lord, that there be a new level of walking with you out of agreement with many of these things, Father. Also for her brother, Ed, also who's in Ireland, Father, and the things that he struggles with, Father, that he is pressing, even in Ireland, even taking Bible school classes, that dedicating his heart and his time, Lord, even as Alana is, and Lord, that but he needs some new breakthroughs, Lord, again, spirit, soul, and body. He needs some breakthroughs, and we're the body. We're the church body that can stand with them now, and we do, and we cover them. We love them, and we ask you to release the power of the Spirit over those who are there. And that, Lord, that includes Geraldine and Faf and all of those that are there in Ireland who seek you and, Lord, who have hearts after you. So, Father, there may be others even in the room or who listen to this later on, or... Father, that are hurting or needy. Maybe they're going through something. Maybe they can't respond right now. But you know their heart. And so, Father, I ask you, not because they came up here or didn't, that not be a factor, but because their heart says yes to you, Jesus. Jesus, I ask you to free them and manifest your love and cover them and draw them in a greater way. Lord, if they have families, draw them as a family. Lord, if they have needs, meet their needs. Lord, if they have desires for greater increase of you and greater purpose in their life, meet the desires of their heart and meet that. Fulfill that purpose. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.